You're listening to The Plumbing Sales Coach, where we give companies the strategies and skills to create a massive customer following. Fresh. Thank you for making us part of Spotify's top 10% most shared and followed podcast. And now, your host, Chris.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of The Fresh Approach. I'm your host, CF, the Plumbing Sales Coach. Today, we talk about scaling. Today, we talk about the key to scaling, and we're going to learn from one of the greatest, Marcus Lemonis himself, the prophet, from the hit TV series that you guys have probably seen. And if you haven't, you should, because he points out some really key elements as it relates to business and how he has scaled multiple different industries, scaled multiple different businesses, and he's done it really using the same framework, the same principles. While you may own a service plumbing company, make no mistake, your business is like other business. It is people serving people. And so once we understand that, we can get into the core of process and what that process should be, what it should be about, what the motives of it should be, and what the results we're looking for should be. Because here's the key. Here's what Marcus Lemonis has said on his show for years. There are three P's. That's his framework: people, product, process. When it comes to process, he talks about that extremely when it comes to scaling and how that affects your ability to scale, and also whether or not you can even scale. And there's so many things that come into this, but there's one thing we're going to talk about today that I almost guarantee a lot of you are either doing or have done, continue to do, and is the thing that you need to remove now, yesterday. And if you don't, you will never scale. You'll only be as big as you are. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to dive into that. We're going to basically rip it apart. There's an article from OpsVeta that they did on Marcus Lemonis and entrepreneur.com, Forbes.com. They've done some articles as well, but really breaking these things down. And one of the key things that Marcus Lemonis said was each of the three P's is important. And if any one of them is missing, it's hard to produce consistently good results. When process is missing, quality suffers and results can be unreliable. Innovation lags, scalability is virtually impossible. And sometimes we look and we go, how did they scale the pet rock? How did they scale Crocs? It's not even a good product. Sorry if you wear Crocs, it's not. Whatever. I don't know. For another time. But they scaled that company, the Chia Pet. They scaled that company. And how did they do it? See, McDonald's was built on process. If you've ever seen the movie, The Founder, you'll know that there was a process. I mean, it is the process of processes called the Speedy System. The whole goal was to get the burger to the window faster than they could take the money. See, the problem back then was it took too long to get served. It took too long to get your meal. They wanted the fries should be fried for exactly 3 minutes and 10 seconds. It wasn't like they should be fried for around 3 minutes. It wasn't 3 minutes-ish and then we pull them. It wasn't when they're golden brown. It was 3 minutes and 10 seconds. They should be served within 7 minutes after they come out of the fryer. See, that's a proper sequence. In fact, they have a proper sequence for building the McDonald's cheeseburger. Bun, mustard, ketchup, onion, pickle, cheeseburger, bun. When I place an order at McDonald's drive-thru, I know exactly what I'll be getting. Now, they have fallen off. But if you go back to when they first started, they had this down. They blew up over a billion burgers sold. Now, have they fallen off? Absolutely. But we can still learn some things from when they first started. We can look at Walmart in the world of supply chain management. Walmart is often cited as a pioneer of innovation and innovative processes. Early in the company's history, managers made a commitment to improving efficiency in the supply chain and driving costs down while keeping their shelves fully stocked. That is a motive, that is a focus, that is intentional. Same with McDonald's, it was intentional. So we're going to talk about that today. We're going to give you the keys, what you got to have, what you got to do, how do you scale, what's going to give you, what's the recipe? Yeah, we're going to talk about that. Really quick, on a couple of announcements to update. Got a lot going on, folks. Got a lot going on. My goodness. We've got, I don't know now, so many people, 500 technicians or so in the program. A lot of companies all over the country, and it's crazy to see these results. It's crazy to see what you guys are doing with this. I see feedback on social media from those that watch, just listen to the podcast or read the posts. If you guys are in our Fresh Force Facebook group, which is a free group, go check that out. Join that. You can get to that group by simply downloading our app on the App Store. So many resources we have for you. But I'm getting all this feedback and people are saying, hey, we want more podcasts. So guess what? We're doing more podcasts. We want to serve you. We want to give you the information you need to be successful. Why? Because we care about the end user. We want the consumer in the plumbing industry to have the best possible experience, and we want to show you how to give it to them. It does increase your revenue. It does reduce the stress. It does make things more simpler, but it's not easy. There's work. lots of stuff that have to get implemented. And if you want that business that runs itself, you're going to have to put in an extra measure of work in the beginning to get that free time back. Well, what I mean by that is you got to invest. If you want to have more time later, you got to invest time now. You got to have hyper-focus. Now, it doesn't have to be 100 hours a week. It could be 40 hours a week. It could be whatever it takes, but it doesn't happen unless you're focused. If you guys want more information about our program, reach out. info@theplumbingsalescoach.com. We will allow you to attend a free training session. You can join us when we're having a paid group session where all the other owners are in there that are paying. You can join for free one time and hang out and see what's going on. Guarantee you'll get something out of it. You'll probably be able to either reduce a headache or increase profits just from attending one meeting. So there's my promise. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about Marcus Simonis and what he says. Okay, here's the thing. At the end of the day, he says scalability comes down to two things. Okay, just two things. Process and automation. While process is a central prerequisite to scaling the business, it is certainly not the only ingredient. Automation plays an equally important role. What's that look like? See, you can have a process to write three options. You can have a process to give discounts. You can have a process to write solutions to the customer all day long. But if you don't have automation, what does that look like? Well, then you're probably getting a phone call all the time about, hey, can we do this for the price? Or what would you recommend here? If you don't have automation, then you're involved in the calls. You might be looking at the calls to see how they went to figure out what could have went more. You might be looking at the numbers. If you don't have a process and automation that tells you when the problems are, that means you spend your day either looking for problems or reacting to them. And in either case, that is not scalable. It's not scalable. See, what's scalable is on every call we do this, and we've got a few different people that are a part of that process that can automate the correction in the moment. I'll give you a great example. Here's a free tip right here. Here's one of the things that we teach inside of our program. The technicians should go out and write options on every call. They should be taking before, middle, and after pictures on every call. And when the call ends, whoever's dispatching can quickly glance at that call to see if everything's been checked off. Did they do the pictures? Did they do the whatever? Did they take the water pressure? And then they cannot dispatch that technician to the next call and have them go back and get it right. And then your manager can look and do an audit on every single call and see if all those things were done. And you can give that score back to your CSR. So what you have are three people involved in holding one task accountable. That's automation. What that means is that when the pictures don't get taken, the CSR creates a task for the technician automatically. Technician does it. If the CSR doesn't do their job, then the service manager or the manager is looking at them and saying, hey, you got a 6 out of 7 average on your score here. Maybe there's 7 things they have to do. They have to take pictures, water pressure, water, whatever it is. And then you can rate them. Hey, you dispatched this guy to the next call, but he didn't have his pictures. Hey, you dispatched this guy to the next call, but we didn't have our whatever. And so now you have accountability for your CSR. You have accountability for your technician, and you're not involved. You're not involved. Pictures are or aren't getting taken, and it's getting corrected without you being involved. That's what automation looks like. That's a process, and now there's automation. Community accountability is what I call it. The key to scaling is community accountability. See, that's when everybody knows the same process. Everybody in the company understands what's right and wrong. There's some companies that we train right now that if I walk in there, it doesn't matter who works there. They already know if there's not three options on that call, something's wrong. Everyone knows. CSRs, managers, helpers, apprentices, doesn't matter. Everyone knows. There's got to be three options. Immediately, everyone in the company feels something wrong when that's not done. And then there's a process in place to hold them accountable. And it's not all just on the tech. It's not all just on the CSR. It's not just all on the manager. It's not just all on the owner. It's a collective group working on a process together. See, this is where I see the big mistake with plumbing. We treat it like it's some sort of sandbag line where we're handing the job off to the next person. The CSR did their job and then they hand it off. And then the next person does their job and they hand it off. And that is a mistake. You'll only be good as your weakest link in that environment. You will only be good as your worst employee in that environment. That's just the reality. But when you treat it like an assembly line and then all of your employees are working the line, well, now it's on the process. And the process can hold people accountable. And then you can put people in a position to automate the process. And now you can scale because you can build another assembly line and another assembly line and another assembly line. This is the stuff we teach inside of our master's program. Literally how to build these smaller companies inside the bigger company. So it's not like you're scaling 100 people. You're scaling 25 groups of 4 or 20 groups of 5. In our specific scenario, it would be about 5 groups of 16. That's the organizational chart we draw out. See, we have these answers because we've gone through this. I ran a plumbing company. I've worked in the plumbing company. I've been around business. I've built 3 different million-dollar companies. And one was an audio, one was a house cleaning, one was this one right here that we're doing where we're training service companies. They're all different. They all had a different set of problems, a different set of things, if you will. You know, for the owners that are out there, you know, you got to do all the things, all the stuff. Well, this had a different set in each one. But you know what I found out? Process plus automation equals scalability. Doesn't matter what industry I'm in. With the house cleaning company, one of the biggest problems we had was quality control of the cleaning. If you've heard me say it once, you've heard me say it a million times. Quality control is the hardest thing to scale in any industry. So we had something called a bell check. We broke the home into categories and we had a spot check come around and check on these homes as we were cleaning them. And we made sure that over the course of the month, we caught every single home, we caught every single area, and we caught every single employee. We had a rotation. So if somebody wasn't as good in the bathroom as they were in the living room, we would train them and fix it, correct it, and figure out the pattern. What are you doing inside of your company to make sure that you have quality control as it relates to the experience the customer is having and as it relates to the plumbing that's getting installed? Because those are two different things. Those are two different things. You know, we might have a process for installing the plumbing, but do we have a process for selling the plumbing? We might have a process for selling the plumbing, but do we have a process for installing the plumbing? And I'm not talking about leaving it up to the plumber. Like, what's the actual process? And then who's a part of that process that holds it accountable? Because a lot of times it's like, hey, here's the lead. Good luck. That doesn't work. That's not scalable. You'll be awesome until that great employee quits. You'll be horrible until you fire that bad employee. But it will always come down to the people and the weakest link and not the process and not the consistency. See, here's something that, you know, talking about Walmart, you hear this idea of automation. In fact, the term robotic process automation is something we've heard a lot of with robotic and the fact that they can do different things. It's somewhat of a buzz phrase, if you will, the term robotic. But that's what it should look like. It should be robotic in some ways with personality, meaning it's the same every time. That's how you get a consistent result. You know, so many times we ride the highs and the lows of sales, or the highs and the lows of what the techs do out in the field, or the highs and the lows of what the customers are willing to buy. And you can't plan for that. You can't project on that. You can't grow as a company and know what you can and can't invest in and what that rate of return on that investment even is. That's where you start getting into, you have to know your numbers and tracking your numbers. But you got to track the right numbers. So many people will sell you a program tracking numbers. Sounds legit. Those numbers aren't helping you most of the time. They're just keeping you from working on things you need to be working on. So you got to know the right numbers. But if you don't know what your process is, you don't know what your result that you're expecting is, you don't know what your motive for your process is, how in the world are you ever going to even know how to price things, or how are you even going to know how to go about creating and identifying what those numbers are? See, if my goal is to give every customer a 5-star experience, and I want 80% of those customers or more to actually do work with us, when a call comes in, I want at least $1,000 on average to be flowing through my company, meaning sometimes I go out and fix a Vill valve for a couple $100, and sometimes I install a tankless, but on average, we're right around $1,000 every time that phone rings, then I can actually go project and plan on that, meaning I know for a fact that's going to happen, because it's not happening because of people. It's happening because of a process and automation. The people are making it better for sure, but it's happening because of our process and automation. They're just enhancing that process and automation. And now I know that that result is going to be consistent, because it's not relying on emotion and how that guy's feeling that day, or if they had a bad day, or they're going through a tough season in life. It's not based on that. It's based on a process that I can count on. So if I got 50 calls coming in a week, I got 50 grand coming in a week. If I got 100 calls coming in a week, I got 100 grand coming in a week. Like clockwork. Whether this guy's in a good mood, or she's happy today, or this person quits, or we hire this guy, or whatever it is, it becomes consistent, and you can plan on that. Okay, Russell Brunson says something so earth-shattering. It's the opposite way of looking at marketing. So many people, you're going to say, I'm one of those people, Chris. So many people want to reduce their cost per lead acquisition. That's their goal. I got to get it from 63 to 62. Then I got to get it from 62 to 61. And I got to get it from 61 to 59. But Russell says the person that can spend the most on a lead wins. The person that can spend the most on the lead wins. The reason why you're trying to get your lead from 63 to 62 to 61 to 60 is because you're trying to increase your profit margin. You're trying to become more profitable. But there's a totally different way and a strategy you could go about that. It's called value stacking. It's something that we teach inside of our program on how to get the customer to do more. We use the analogy of a burger all the time. You can go to McDonald's and buy a burger. You can go to Red Robin and buy a burger, and they're going to have a bunch of different burgers on their menu. At Red Robin, my guess is they're going to be, you know, starting out at around $12.95, and that one's going to have a bun, maybe a pickle, maybe some onions, maybe some lettuce, maybe some mustard, maybe some mayonnaise. For a couple more bucks, though, you can get that same burger, take off the mustard and the mayonnaise, add maybe a barbecue sauce and some some onion straw chips and maybe a piece of bacon or two, and all of a sudden that one's $15.95. But they don't really care which burger you buy, because at the end of the day, they're getting their $13 for the base burger. Everything else is just stacked on top to add more value. Monster, you've heard me talk about Monster did this. They came out and they said one can for $3.69 or two cans for $4. So everybody's like, I'm getting the second can for 40 something cents. I'm not going to miss out on that deal. And all Monster said was, hey, we'll give you the second can at cost so we can sell you the full can at an inflated retail price. And we all feel like we're getting a deal. See, when you teach your team process, they can get consistent. When you get consistent, you can start to not only automate that process, but you can also project the result because you know what it's going to be because it's consistent. You start spitting out a consistent result and you're onto something. So here's the big takeaway. Here's the thing all of you are doing that's keeping you from automating. It's a two-part word it's a bad word. You're micromanaging. You're micromanaging your people. You're micromanaging your processes. You're micromanaging your price book. You're micromanaging. Micromanaging is literally the opposite of scaling. It's the enemy to scaling. If scaling was to get in a ring and fight someone, it would be micromanaging. Micromanaging will be the reason why you don't scale. You'll feel in control. You'll feel good. You'll be frustrated all day long. No one will ever live up to your expectations. You'll become a tyrant. No one wants to work for you after a period of time. There's no good plumbers is what you'll think. Problem is we don't want to be treated like kindergartners. We don't want to be treated like little kids. Stop micromanaging. Put a process in place, put people in charge of accountability, hold people accountable, that's okay, and allow the process to dictate whether or not the job was done. Allow the measurement of KPIs, key performance indicators. Look, if I got a technician out there converting at 93%, averaging $1,200 a ticket, you think I'm going to talk to him about the one call he didn't get? No, you're going to demotivate him. Stop. There's nothing to talk about. A high five. Good job. See you next week. Stop micromanaging. The second you stop micromanaging, the second your business starts to scale, it's that simple. Then you got to go through and document what you're doing, put a process in place to make sure that it sticks, automate it so that you don't have to be the one that manages it. And guess what? Now you have a consistent result, whether you're there or not, and your job doesn't become managing anymore. It becomes motivating. And then you motivate the leaders in your organization to hold people accountable to the process, to get excited about where the company is going and to help you grow it. And then you go grow it. You leave that office, you go build your business. You start adding things to your business to give your team a better set of resources to work with and serve your community. Make them look better. The uniforms look better. The trucks look better. The whole thing look better. And what you end up having is a company that explodes. You can't even keep up with it mentally. And you are just chasing people, motivating and having a good time. And believe it or not, it's extremely possible. It's not just possible. It's been achieved by so many people. And the only thing they had to do was get out of the way. You're the reason why you're not successful. I know it hurts and I know it sucks to hear, but it's the truth. And the faster you get over the victim mentality of that thought and you get into the winner mentality of that thought, you take control of the situation, you start pouring into people, you start making them better so they can help you build the vision that you're trying to build. You'll never do it alone. You'll always need other people. And the faster you get there, the faster you'll get there. I love you. Make sure you reach out if you have any questions. We were more than happy to help you, have you join one of our sessions, and we will let you guys take a sneak peek for free. Also coming up in May, we have a huge water heater and water softener course. Go to raisemyticketaverage.com and you can buy tickets there. We're going to break down water heaters, water softeners, what's causing them to fail, what are the other things in the home that are failing, how can we group those things together and help the customer see the bigger problem, and then therefore value stacking options that customers get excited about so that we can provide that amazing service helping the customer invest in their plumbing rather than get taken for an expense. That's what we want to show you guys how to do. Reach out for more information. If you want anything, need anything, please don't hesitate. We love you. And as always, remember, serve your community in everything, not just plumbing. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Plumbing Sales Coach Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram, and check us out on the web at theplumbingsalescoach.com.